Okay. There were, I was correcting JavaScript 2 the other night, and I've actually asked this question before and haven't run into a problem, but I was running into a lot of problems. I suspect the S on this threw people off. The S on all scores. I only want you to take in one score inside the loop. Okay, so I want you to set up a loop, and I want you to take in one score. And I want you to do the loop 5 times, so you end up taking in 5 scores total. A lot of people took in 3 scores inside the loop, and I can't say that I don't understand where that came from. And if you've done it and you did everything else right, that's fine. If you didn't do everything else right, I sent it back to you. And commented on that as well. But if you put 3 scores within the loop and you do the loop 5 times, you and I have to enter 15 numbers to test it. And that's not fun. If you only take in 1 score on each loop, then you only have to enter 5 things when you're testing it. So when you give me something and I have to enter 15 numbers, I curse you as I'm doing it, and you curse me as you're testing it because you really didn't want to have to enter 15 numbers either. Okay, so basically, I just wanted to comment on that. Okay, and I'm behind, as you know, because I took Halloween off. Hopefully I'll get it caught up tonight and tomorrow, so by tomorrow I should be caught up. Okay, other pieces of information, basically. Pat will be around this afternoon after class. I've gotten a bunch of meetings I have to go to. One of my favorite things in the whole wide world is going to meetings. But I've got a bunch of meetings I got to go to. So I won't be around, although I'll probably be back between 4 and 4:30, and I can check if anybody's still here. Next week, as I said before, I am away. There will be an open lab on Monday in this room between 11 and 3 that Pat will be at. And there will be an open lab on Thursday. Tuesday's a holiday. There will be an open lab on Thursday from 9:30 to 2 in here and then over in K118 for another half hour or so.
Yeah.
So if you need help, come. I've asked Jess, who was my help last year, to please come, and she thinks she can do it. So there ought to be both Pat and Jess here that can help. The following week, on the 18th, I have a guy from Meditech who's coming in and talking about jobs in programming and web development. And so anybody that's in those areas should pay attention. Other people should, too. He'll probably take about half the class, and I'll do Visual Basic the other half. And then on Thursday, there is a woman from the Naval Underwater whatever at Newport that is coming in at 2 o'clock on Thursday, and I will post the room number when I find out what it is. So she's coming in at 2 o'clock on Thursday, and she's interested in networking, forensics, and security. Networking and security being the two things she's most interested in. And they've got a really nice internship program that they're going to be trying to select a few students to do. And the internship programs can turn into a job. So it's a nice thing to go to. So that's what's happening in the next week or two. And now we'll look what's happening today. Any questions? Okay, for Visual Basic, I want you to download inside here is one called If First, and that's actually the first one we're going to look at. So if you unzip this, If First is in there. The other ones I want to look at are First Math, Work Areas, and User Input. So you want to download those four and unzip them. and then we will look at them. And if you're having problems, Pat will help.
Save it to the T drive?
Or your flash drive, either one.
Just best, like, maybe, like, before I go in, well, if you want right now, just, you can start just downloading them and unzipping them and putting them in a little folder. That would do it. It's a lot easier. So anybody having issues trying to find it? Or
well, how come when I try to save it, it just goes wherever it goes and it doesn't?
It goes into the downloads file.
I know, but I want to put it on my flash drive. How do I?
That's just the way Chrome is.
Yeah.
I have to click over.
No. You'd have to cancel. You'd have to actually just bring it from the downloads folder into your flash drive.
Right. That's really annoying.
Yeah.
It really is.
Chrome really should let you.
Needs to do what I want.
Firefox doesn't let you either, does it?
Firefox does. Yeah, Firefox.
Okay, some versions of Firefox.
No, they still do it. That's the only thing that bugs me about Chrome is you can't.
It's just an option in the settings.
Right, but you can't change the settings here.
In Chrome,
yes. You can't go to save as.
No, no, but you can't.
Save as, like, Mozilla.
You can't change any settings here because they don't last.
On your main computer, you could do it.
Right.
On your home computer, you can. But anytime these computers are rebooted, all the settings go away. So. I mean, you're using your own computer, so it's no problem.
No, I'm not using it.
No, but it won't stay.
No, I've had it stay.
Then nobody turned off the computer. Or somebody didn't do something right. Because it's set up, supposedly, such that it reboots to the original settings whenever the computer starts up again. Okay, then maybe somebody didn't do it on the computer you were at, but that's the way it's supposed to be. Because essentially, way back when, people were changing settings left and right. And so they decided when the computer goes off, settings go away.
Basically, I just sent it to the one I pressed the start button. It brings up this list to set it
up. Anyone having issues either trying to find this or extracting?
So extract them all?
Extract all of those.
Okay, first map. You can just download this guy. This guy, work areas. User this guy here. Extract it.
An all-time high here, I think, today.
Oh, okay. So what you do is, you go into this guy. You know what I mean? You bring it where you want to put it.
Okay, how are we doing? Is most people got it downloaded?
My
computer's
not
working.
Okay, so now I'm going to open Visual Studio 2012. And if somebody was sitting at your computer before, it's loading fast. If they weren't, you've got to wait. Visual Studio 2012.
The desktop, right?
Yes. Well, maybe. You may have to do a...
Does it say Blend?
You may have to go in here and find it under All Programs.
Mine says Blend for Visual Studio 2012. Right. And that looks like 2010. Oh, never mind. Here, I'm
I don't even know what Blend is. It's obviously a product, but I don't know what product it is.
Wait, so are we going? Are we going to your site and then going to the Visual Basic?
You're going to my site to download and unzip.
Okay.
And then you're going to Visual Basic to run the things you unzipped.
Okay.
So I'm now going to say File, Open Project. Pardon? Okay, Pat's coming.
Who needs help?
Okay.
Okay. So the first thing I'm going to open is inside the VB, it's first if. Okay. And you click on the SLN to open.
Did you
what's SLN?
God knows.
Okay, no, don't do that.
I'm just curious what the extension is.
I'm not great at
like HTML, hyper.
So it's actually go into that.
That's right.
Go to all programs.
SLN. I have no idea.
So
Google it if you want to know.
Microsoft Visual Studio 2012. It's under Microsoft.
Doing
that.
And it's like EXE is executable.
Yeah.
Do you see his document? I used to think SLN was actually SIN. So, whatever.
They'll probably make an appearance because
they're
so popular, but then you're serious.
Okay, guys. This would mean everybody but me is going to be quiet. Okay. So, when you open this and look in the design mode, this is what you should see. If you don't see the form, click on the from first.vb and the form will come up. Okay, so this is what you should be seeing. Now notice, I have labels, I have text boxes, and I have buttons. So if I click on my text box there, and again, I always click on the A to Z to alphabetize these, so I click on that second icon in to alphabetize, and you can see the name two places. You can see it on the name, you can also see it here right under properties. So that was obviously named text department.
Which project was there before?
If first. And then if I click on a label, notice it says label department. Okay? So basically what I'm doing is those are all named, and they've got LBL if they're a label, they've got TXT if they're text, and they've got BTN if they're button. So here's another one, and it says BTN check. Okay, so when I name them this way. And I use all lowercase letters at the beginning, BTN. And then when I start the name, I start a capital letter and put the name of it in. So that's button check. Okay, that's the correct way of doing it that makes you look professional. Okay, so now I am going to look at the code. When I want to look at the code, I'm going to click on a button, and that shows me the code. Now, this last piece of code is not going to be on yours. We'll talk about it in a minute, but I added that in the last class. Okay, so what I've got here now is, okay, back row, my turn. I have got a definition of a variable. And notice VIM, that's the same as VAR in JavaScript. It's defining a variable. Okay, so DIM is defining a variable. And I'm defining a variable called WKDIFF, work diff. I tend to put WK in front of my work areas, if I remember and I'm being good, because if I put a WK in front of them, then I know they're a work area that I've set up, and so I put the WK in there for work. So I have set up an area in memory called work diff, and I've said that it's going to hold an integer. So I've said as integer. Now, JavaScript doesn't do this. JavaScript does not let you define a type when you set up a work area. Visual Basic does. So I can define a type and tell it what type of data it is, that this is going to be a number and specifically a whole number. If I wanted it to be a decimal, I could write as decimal or as double also. So I've defined a variable. Now, where I define this, let's see if it's actually going to let me write. Yes, it did. That is local. That means it is local to that subroutine. Only that subroutine knows what workdiff is. If I try to use workdiff in another subroutine, it's not going to know what I'm talking about. So workdiff is only available to this subroutine. Okay, the one where I defined it. Now, if I want it available to all my subroutines, I could put it up here, right in there, and then it would become local. So if I have a variable that I want to use in all of my subroutines, or at least multiple of my subroutines, I define it up there right under public class. And it is then global, which means all the subroutines can see it. Okay? Okay, so what I did there is I started out and I said set up workdiff as a number. And so that sets up a area in memory called workdiff. And I can put a number in it. So on the form, I've got a place called budget and a place called spent. So let's say I put 5,000 in budget and 3,000 in spent. So let's say I put 5,000 there and I put 3,000 there. So it does the subtract and workdiff ends up being 2,000, right? Because 5,000 minus 3,000 is 2,000. Now, notice the difference between using a work area and using a field on the form. Text budget is a field on the form. Fields on the form have a gazillion properties. They have all those properties. So they can have a color property, they can have a length property, they can have all kinds of properties. So what I have to do is tell it that I'm interested in what's in the box, which is the text property. So any box on the form, any text box on the form, I have to tell it that I'm specifically interested in the text that's in the box. So I use the text property. Work areas that I set up don't have a bunch of properties. They just can hold a number. So I don't have to put the dot text there because it doesn't have properties. Okay, dot text is pick that property. So if I run this now and I put in department CI, budget 5,000, spent 3,000, and I click check, it comes back and tells me 2,000 is what I have left to spend. Because I put in 5,000, 3,000. 5,000 minus 3,000 is 2,000. Then I ask the question, is WIDDIF, which is 2,000, greater than 1,000? It is. So it writes out in the text box, WIDDIF concatenated with a message. So you see WIDDIF concatenated with a message written in the text box. If I had put in here 4,500 and I clicked on check, it would have said you have 1,000 or less to spend, because 5,000 minus 4,500 is 500. And 500 is not greater than 1,000, so it takes the else and it writes out you have 1,000 or less to spend. Questions? Does that make sense so far?
How do you get it to run to from where you are? I didn't see it.
The little diamond up at the top. That little diamond right there, half a diamond, right beside the word start. Okay, so now the next one, I actually went in and added a second if statement down here below, so you don't see this one. We'll talk about that one in a minute. You're not seeing that one if you haven't. Huh? I've got on the new text.
Oh, okay.
Click on any button and it brings up the text. Okay, so here I have got one where I'm asking the question. And I'm saying, okay, is it CI? Is the department CI? If the department CI, then I'm asking, is budget greater than 5,000? And if the answer is yes, then I am putting not change in here. I'm putting that message in. Else, I'm putting the message that says I can make a request. And then I close these up. If it's not CI, I put in the message that says not CI. And I close that up. Okay, so let's take a look at this. This is the logic that I went through. So I'm saying, first of all, I have what if. And I said, if text department dot text equals CI, then if it is, I want to ask another question. You can see in the flowchart, I want to ask another question, and I have a second essay. Now, when I put on the else, else attaches to the first available if. And if also attaches to the first available if, so that's all nicely there. The else down below will therefore have to attach up there. And notice that Visual Basic very nicely indents everything for you. And if I type an if, it very nicely adds the then and throws in the end if at the bottom. So it is being helpful. And usually helpful is good. Sometimes Microsoft helps are not so good. But in this case, it's fairly good. So it throws it in, but it also indents, which is a wonderful thing. Because it's easy to see how things match up when they're indented. And in JavaScript, those of you who indented had an easier job figuring out what was happening. The other thing is that there is no curly braces in this. And for that, I say thank you. Okay? So the stuff between the if and the else is what to do if it's true. The stuff between the else and the end if is what to do if it's false. So I have the true. Here I have the false. So it doesn't use curly braces, it uses the words. Anything between if and else is what to do if it's true. anything between else and end if is what to do if it's false. So it does that instead of the curly braces. And for some reason, I find those a lot easier to keep track of than the curly braces. But as we talked about before, and I think Pat mentioned, when in JavaScript, if you put in the open curly brace, you yourself immediately put in the closed curly brace, it makes life a lot easier. Go on YouTube and watch what they do when they demonstrate. They always do that, or at least all the ones I've seen do. As soon as they put in the top curly brace, they immediately put in the bottom curly brace so that they'll keep track of what they've got. Okay, questions on what I've got here. The thing at the bottom that I added in the other class is a message box. So I said down here, and you can go ahead and put it in yours if you wanted to, if textdepartment.text equals CI, then put up a message box that says CI. Else, put up a message box that says not CI, and if. What a message box is an alert. Okay? So a message box in JavaScript, in DB, is an alert in JavaScript. That basically it's the same as an alert. So you can throw it in to debug. When you want to see what something is, you can throw in a message box. Okay, so I'm going to run the second one now. So I'm going to say start, and I'm going to put in that the department is CI, and the budget is $6,000. And spent is 1,000. And then I'm going to click on another check. So I'm clicking on that. And first it did the big if, which was I put in 6,000. So it came here and did that. That's fine. Then it went and did the other method if, and it put out a message box that said CI. So that's a pop-up message box. And nothing happens until I click the OK on that. We've come to a grinding halt until I click the OK. So if there was other code in here, down below the if and before the end sub, if I had other code in there, that will not be executed until I click the OK, until that I'm done with the message box. And then it would be executed. So if I click on the OK, everything is done. But if I had something else down below, it would have done that. Okay? Questions? Okay. So this is showing you how an if statement works in JavaScript and Visual Basic. I'll figure out what language I'm in eventually. What language is Visual Basic? It shows you how it works in Visual Basic, and it shows you also the message box, which substitutes for an alert. There's a more complex version of the message box, but we're not going to go into that.
Are we going to learn like the top line?
No. That's a let Microsoft do its thing. I mean, basically, it's just throwing up some stuff it needs. And I know, I don't know. Basically, you need to understand a lot of other stuff before that line makes a lot of sense. Okay, so let Microsoft do its thing and don't mess it up. Okay?
Any questions about Visual Studio?
Alrighty, then we're going to open the next one. So I'm going to say File, Close Solution, and I'm now going to open First Math.
So if you haven't already, download First Math off the website in the program section and extract the zip file.
Okay, I'm assuming most of you got it downloaded and downloaded them all.
Haven't watched.
Okay. So, here I have a whole bunch of buttons. The add, subtract, multiply, and divide we looked at last time. They were on a different program. But I've now added two that are called question one and question two, and I've added one that says use variable. So those are the ones I'm going to look at. Okay, so I'm going to go look at the code. Yeah, thank you. I start getting laryngitis by this time when I talk over that all the time. Okay, so I now have question one and question two. And the other one, which is variable. So I can bring those up a little because we've already looked at the other stuff. Okay, so what I've got here, is it going to, nah, it's not going to ever let me see the end of that. What I've got is question one. And question one is testing to see if two things are the same. Now, the two things that it's testing are text boxes, the text in text boxes. Visual Basic does not type the stuff that's in a text box. It assumes that it's text or string, but it doesn't, you know, look at it and say, oh, you typed a number here, it must be a number. Oh, you typed a letter here, it must be a letter. So, I'm comparing to see if they're equal. So, I'm going to run this. And I'm putting in 4 and 4 and hitting question 1. And it comes up and says they're the same, which I would expect it to do. 4 is definitely equal to 4. It says the same. Okay? If I put a 5 in here, it comes up and says different. Okay, and I would expect that too. But what happens if I put an 04 in there? A 04. What do you think is going to happen there? When I test this, it tells me that they're different. And the reason is, this is text. And so the 4 compares to the 0. I'm looking at the characters 4 equal to the characters 04. And no, they're not. So it tells me they're different. Okay? Now, that's not what I really want. If I go down here on the second question, and I change by doing C-I-N-T. And C-I-N-T is the same as parse integer in JavaScript. So if I go in here and I click on question 2, it tells me first is equal to second. And the reason is, I've said, take what is in the text box and convert it to an integer. Take what's in this second text box, convert it to an integer. So now I have two integers. And when it's comparing two numbers, it knows that leading zeros don't have any impact. Okay? Leading zeros make no difference when you're comparing number. 4 is equal to 0000004. Leading zeros have no impact. But when it's string, 4 is not equal to 00004 because they're a different number of characters and it compares the leftmost position, the 4 to the 0, and they're not equal. Okay? So, if I want numbers to be checked for equality, I need to convert them to integer. And then when I convert them to integer, it will make a number comparison as opposed to a character or text comparison, and it comes up with the right answer. C-I-N-T converts to a whole number. C-D-E-C converts to a decimal number. So C-D-E-C is like parse float, And C-I-N-T is like parse integer. Okay? Questions? Okay. And then the last one on this page, I am saying I set up a variable. And again, this variable is local. This variable is local. So it's local to this subroutine. So dim defines a variable. If I want to use it in this subroutine, if I want to use it in multiple or all of the subroutines, I put the definition right under public class up at the top, and we're not at the top, but if I scrolled up, I would be. And then it becomes global. Okay? So here I'm basically saying take what's in first, subtract what's in second. If work answer is greater than zero, put out one message, else put out another message. Okay, so if I do this, I have to close the ink layer, obviously, which I don't think I saved. Okay, so now I can close the ink layer, and then I can click on that, and it says it's not greater than zero. Okay, if I put a 07 here, for example, and click on that, it says it is greater than zero. Okay. All right, questions on this one? I get loads of questions in the other class. You're my quiet class, they're my noisy class. Questions, questions? Alrighty, then we're going to say file, close solution, and file, open, and we're going to do user input. Notice here that I have definitely change the background property of that text box. You can see that that background property of that text box is different than it would be standard. And if you look over and click on it, then it shows the properties that go with text gross pay. And if I come up here, you can see that the background color is that kind of light beige. Okay? If you don't have that, that's probably because I did it in the other class. Is yours showing that?
No.
Okay. Then go to that box, click on properties, and find back color. Click on back color, and it will bring up all of these possibilities, and I selected beige. Okay, so just click on it. And if it doesn't come up with custom, because it won't if we haven't got anything in there, it will come up with those three, and I think it comes up with system as the default. Click on custom, and then click the beige. And you can make it beige. That is changing the property of background color. And then if you scroll down, I changed the property of foreground. And again, I went into custom, okay, go into custom, and I chose red, and that gave me red as my foreground color, which means when I write in this box, the text will be red. Okay. So those are also properties. And that's one of the reasons why when you're dealing with boxes on the form, you have to tell it that you want the .text property when you want the content. Because there are a load of other properties. And if I just refer to text gross pay, it doesn't know which of these properties I'm talking about. So I have to say textgrosspay.text so it knows I'm talking about the content. In the actual Visual Basic class, we get into how you can change color within the program. We're not doing that. We're just changing it within the properties. Okay? We're doing a very small percentage of what there is to know about Visual Basic. The goal here is to make you understand what programming is and be able to do a little of it. But not a whole lot in 2 or 3 weeks. Okay. All righty. So now if I run this, I'm going to click here first and bring up the text, and then I'm going to run it. So it wants a name, Steve. Click here. Now notice what happens when I click here. It comes up with what is called an input box. What does that remind you of? It's a prompt in JavaScript, right? And here's where it does it. First, I define work hours as a decimal. Then I define work pay per hour as a decimal. And then I define gross pay as a decimal. Then I said, okay, put up an input box. And the input box should say, enter hours worked and hours. And notice how it does that. Enter hours worked is in this area. Hours goes in as kind of a title. Okay, so it takes something in and it assigns it to work hours. And then, so I'm going to say that you worked 40 hours. So I'm going to put a 40 here. And then it says pay per hour, I'm going to put a 50. And now I've got 2,000. Okay? So the person worked 40 hours, and they worked, their pay is $50 an hour. So now I say, okay, take and multiply pay per hour times work hours and put it in work gross. So work gross picks up 2,000. And then I say, okay, now take work gross and do a function on it. And the function is formatted for currency. So notice in the output I have a dollar sign and a comma because I took that and formatted it to look like currency. Okay, so format currency turns it into currency. And then I said once you've turned it into currency, assign it to text gross pay, which means it shows up over there. Assign it as the text or the value for text gross pay. And then it shows up over there. Yes, no, maybe? So we've got a message box that acts like an alert, and we've got an input box that acts like a prompt. Okay? And again, when I run this, it doesn't like the way I put this down. Okay? Fussy, fussy. Okay, so I'm going to close this. And I'm going to run it again. So I'm going to say click here, and I'm going to put in 34 and 34. And it's giving me those results. And now I'm going to run it one more time. Click here, and I'm going to put in 25 and 25. But notice it does nothing. It has not calculated the new pay. This is the old one down here. It hasn't calculated the new pay. It's patiently waiting for me to click the OK. And both input boxes and message boxes wait until you click the OK before they do their thing. Okay. So now I'm going to click the OK, and I get that pay, which is $625. Okay, so it didn't calculate the pay until I clicked out of the message box, the input box, rather. Questions? Okay. The next one. We're going through these fast because nobody has any questions. There's got to be a question. Right. Every one of you understands exactly what I've said, right? Wrong.
I need to watch the whole thing over.
That I don't have time for. Okay.
I mean, worst comes to worst, just the audio notes.
I know. Story of my life.
Ask questions because of, like, we're here.
Right.
There's time now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Why is this not in order, like, the way, why is the code not in order the way the program is? Like, names on top and click here.
Okay, wait a minute. I don't understand. Open project. Okay, so go ahead. Now
see
what?
How the calculations on top and then the questions would be at bottom or whatever.
No, it's really fairly straightforward because I've defined memory variables. Then I've said go get some data. Then I've said do a calculation, report the results. So that's kind of in order.
No, not the calculations. Is it at the end of the code it says that for you to put your name or whatever?
No, it actually never does. I put my name because it had a box. And I'm very good at filling in boxes. So it had a box here that said for name. So I decided to put in a name. It would have worked fine if I hadn't, because I never actually used the name. Then I said click here, and I agree, it could have been here. It would have been better to write click here to calculate pay and be a little clearer as to what was going on there. That would have been nice. But essentially, it is now coming up and asking me these questions, and I quit and it does the calculation. The order of the form is my choice, and as I said, the button might have been clearer to say click here to calculate gross pay. But
what is it actually called for the name?
Yeah, pardon me?
What is it called for the name?
It doesn't. I never use the name. If I'd wanted to use the name, I could have. I could have
just deleted it from the code.
No, it was just sitting there, but I never told it to write anything.
Where is it?
Now, it's inside the text box. And if I refer to textname.text, I can do something with it. So let's say I want to put up a box that will have it in it. I can go back to my form. I can come up with a text box and put it in here. And I can then go to click here. And after that, I can say, wait a minute, I didn't give it a name. Let me give that a name. And I'll call that text hi. And we'll say hi. Okay, so now I'm going to go to here and I'm going to say, okay, text hi.text equals equals hi concatenated with text, yeah, right, text name.text. Okay, so now if I run this, I put in Jen. I say click here. It says end of the hours worked, end of the paper hour, and it goes in and does the calculation and writes Hygen at the bottom. So
I was asking them, where's the prompt on the code for your name?
Yeah. The only thing is, I didn't want a prompt. I was mixing and matching how to take in my data. So that's why I put a label there. And the label is supposedly giving them a hint that they should type a name there.
Okay.
Okay?
But why doesn't it show up in the code, or is it on the code?
I didn't prompt for it. So it's just sitting in the text box. And I can use it like I did by saying text name dot text. Think of the very first program that we wrote, and it just said hello into a name. That's
so have,
this.
So you have like a UI and then the code in the back. So
I've got two ways of taking in data. Maybe that's the best way. I can say put it in a text box, or I can say use an input box to prompt for it. So that's two ways of getting data from the user. One is to tell them to type it into a text box or kind of hint that they should, and the other is to actually prompt them. If we went further in JavaScript, there's actually a way to set up text boxes and take in data. But that's a little more complicated than I wanted to get in JavaScript. I did it in the other class, but not with you. But there is a way of setting up text boxes in JavaScript to take data in and using a prompt. We only use the prompt there. But here we have text boxes can have data that comes in and input boxes can get data. And this is, in fact, the first time I've used an input box. So all the others were working off of data that I typed in text boxes. Does that answer make any sense?
It does.
Okay. And in fact, most of the time with Visual Basic, you put it in text boxes. Occasionally you use prompts. And we'll get into something next week that actually will show you, not next week, the week after, it'll actually show you a time when text boxes are a good, prompts are a good thing, yeah.
So could you like write a program in Visual Basic and then somehow put it on your website?
Yes. However, we're not even going close to that. Essentially, when you turn it into web stuff, you turn it into ASP, because Microsoft's web stuff is ASP. And so you can write it and... But you write it for the web developer. Basically, they have you write for desktop or write for web. And so you choose which one you're doing and you do it. Similarity is fairly good, so you can go back and forth a little. Okay. The last one we're going to look at is File, Open Project, and it is work areas. Okay. The stuff at the bottom you don't see, but we'll go through it. Actually, I think I'll make it all go away. And we'll go through it as I do it. This is what you see.
You said work areas.
Say that again, yes, work areas, yep. Okay, so this one is basically asking some basic if statements. But the point that I'm getting at here is that I defined work answer up there at the top, which made it global. Which means that I can use it here, and I can use it here. Because it's global, which means all of the subroutines And basically, these are just asking a couple of questions about the text that came in. What I want to do with this is actually add some extra stuff in. So we're going to go back and look at the form. And you can go ahead and do it with me if you want to. I added two boxes, and I'm going to take those out as well. Okay? So I'm going to come over here and I'm going to put in a button and I'm going to call this button. I'm going to give it a name of text whatever. Okay, so I've made a button called text whatever.
How did you get to the, so that you could write the text?
I clicked on the design. I clicked on the design tab. Okay. So I click on the design tab.
Oh, okay.
Then I come over here and I drag button across. And then I came down here and gave it a new name. Now I also want to change it from saying button one. So I scroll down to the text property. And I change the text property to whatever. Okay, so now I've got the text property down there as whatever. Okay. So while I'm here, I'm going to make a second button. And I'm going to call this button another. So I'm going to call this BTN another. And then I'm going to scroll down here and change its text property to say another. Okay, so I've now got these two buttons. Okay. Yep.
How do I get it to show me the common controls at the left?
Common controls.
You know, the ones...
You need to have the toolbox, toolbars. The so go up there to tools, choose. I think the text box, tools, and choose text box items. Try clicking on that. Try clicking on that and see if it doesn't. Nope.
I'm trying to remember what it does. This is, I get stuck on these little things and then you're like far ahead of me.
No, I'm trying to remember
out of this right.
Just cancel it. Pat?
Yeah?
You remember where the text box tool blotter is? This is it. Yeah, I want the...
Oh, the toolbox?
Yes, I want the icons.
Go view?
Come in. She doesn't have it.
View?
I hate the fact that they took the icons out of there. They used to have these wonderful icons.
All right, now I need a button. All right.
Click on any one of the icons.
They really don't. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's fine. I couldn't remember where it was either. I'm back to my icon days. Okay. So I've made two buttons now, one called whatever and the other called another.
This makes it out better. So like this category, it's kind of annoying, don't do that alphabetical. And then you just text it and you just leave it whatever you want. So it's another.
I called it another.
All right, now how do I name them? Because this is what I was stuck on.
You go to text name.
All right, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Go to the properties and change the name to button another or button whatever. Yes, you do. Click on the second icon and to alphabetize.
Whatever. Go capital W. BTN.
Lowercase b and W, capital W. It's whatever. All right, text, I got it. Okay, and then go down. But that doesn't name it, that changes what it says on the front. Yeah, but if I do that, so bring it down, the text will change. Okay.
All right, now I don't have to watch the whole thing over.
All right. So now if I click on whatever, if I double click on it, see, it makes a routine for whatever. And then I'm going to go back to the form. And I'm going to double click on another. And it has now made a routine for that. Okay, so I now have a routine here for each of these. So now I'm going to put something in them. So I am saying up here, under text whatever, I'm going to say dim something as an integer. Okay, now notice something that it does, which is really annoying. It puts a curly brace under that, as if that word is something wrong with that word. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the word. The reason it did that is that I hadn't used it yet. So if I come down here now and say something equals 1200, it now decides it's just fine because I used it. And that's a newer invention of Microsoft, and I find that one totally annoying. I define something, give me a minute to use it before you yell at me. But it yells at me immediately. Okay, so now I'm going to say I've got something in here, and I'm going to say text answer, which is a field I have on my box, on my form, equals something. So I've said that text answer equals something. So I'm going to take him essentially 1200 is going to show up in text answer. So now I am going to run this. And there's my program. And I am going to just click on whatever. And notice when I click on whatever, 1200 shows up there. Okay, so what I wrote was dim something as integer. And then I said something equals 1200. And then I said assign something as the text property on the field text answer. Yeah.
Give me an idea why the third time I wrote something, it was a curly line under it.
Oh, was it a new word?
No, it's written the same as the other two.
Why is it?
Oh, it's really
asking. Oh, we added more.
What?
Yeah, it was more buttons.
No, I have no idea. Why is that not?
Read your book. Two days. No, go back to that thing. Go, go, go. All
right.
Go
off. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
No, that's okay. Sometimes it puts in a curly brace and you say, that's stupid, I shouldn't have done that. If you click someplace else, it will agree with you that it was stupid and it shouldn't have done that.
I clicked inside the routine, so it didn't do it. You have to actually click
okay.
On the whole routine.
Yeah.
You said text answer, and what is that symbol?
They're all equal symbols.
Oh, you
want to tell? Something as an integer, assign 1200 to something, and then assign something to the text value of text answer. And they have basically equal signs. That's just a dot. Period. Decimal point. Whatever. So now I'm going to go back out, and I'm going to change something here. Come on. And I'm going to copy these two lines and I'm going to put them here. Notice what it does. It's very upset with me because it doesn't know what something is. Because I defined something in this variable, I didn't tell it what it was down there. So it has no idea what something is. And as a result, it's yelling at me. Okay, so what I can do is I can take this dim something and copy that and put it up here at the top in the global area. And now, magically, everything has cleared up. Because once I put it in the global area, that says all subroutines can use it, and the two subroutines are happy now because it's in the global area and they can see it when it's up in the global area. They can use it when it's up in the global area. So, if I now run this, I'm actually going to change this one to 1500 so we can kind of see which is which. So, if I run this and I say whatever, I see 1200. And if I click another, I'm going to see 1500. Because I defined it up in the global area, and so it is happy with me now. Now, one other thing you can do is, you know how in Visual Basic you can give something an initial value? I can come up here and give this an initial value of 1200, and I'm going to then take the 1200 out of this and just leave textAnswer.text. So now I've given it an initial value. This is an initial value. And initial values can be changed. I can change an initial value. Okay? So initial values can be changed. So when I run this, and say start, and I run this, when I click whatever, I didn't assign anything in the when I click whatever, I didn't assign anything in the whatever routine. So it took the value that I gave it up there at 1200 and assigned it as the text, as the text answer. Now if I click another, I changed the value of something. I changed it to 1500. So if I click another, what do you think is going to show up in answer?
1500.
And there it is. Because I changed the initial value to 1500 and then said put it in answer and look what showed up.
You only got to put it in the global thing once?
Yes. And then it becomes global, meaning everybody can see it.
The subroutines can use it.
Okay. Like a variable or something?
Oh, they all are variables, but this is...
declaring your variable.
That's right. But Visual Basic has this thing, and again, if we went further in JavaScript, we'd see some of that. But Visual Basic has this thing where if you declare it in a subroutine, it's local to that subroutine. If you clear it up at the top, everything can see it. It's global. And everything can see it.
Hmm? It's like scope.
Yeah. Okay. So, your first Visual Basic assignment I've already posted. What I want you to do is redo the JavaScript assignment. The first JavaScript assignment, but do it in Visual Basic. So I basically want you to see the similarities and everything in the thing. The one thing that I will say is in JavaScript we used all prompts. In this I would suggest you use more form boxes. Okay, input boxes. Text boxes. I would suggest you use text boxes like this than a lot of prompt input boxes. Because Visual Basic tends to use text boxes. If you want to prompt for something with an input box, that's fine, but on the whole, it's best to use text boxes. And especially for output.
I have a lot of stuff here.
And text boxes to put output in are like that on the right. Just writing it in the text box. Yeah.
How do we send this to you?
Yeah. You got to zip it up. If you put it into a folder, when you create the program, it goes into a folder. You have to zip up the folder and send it to me.
Yeah.
So like it's like the original folder. Like outside of it, it'll say like the name of what. Like if you go to, can you go to like the outside folder of this?
Yeah, I'd have to start something new. Basically,
I was just saying going into the folder. Not really.
Okay. Well, if you go in and you say, I think it's easier to do it this way because then I can show you what it is. I didn't mean to close all of Visual Basic. That was not my intention. Oh, well. But that's all right. So when I say File, New Project, it comes up. And make sure you check this. Create directory for solution. And then it creates a folder or directory. And everything that's involved in this program gets put in that folder or directory. And it's the name that you type in here. If I didn't change anything, the directory would be called Windows Application 1. Okay, so it's whatever I type in there. But basically what you want to do then is when you're ready to send it to me, you have to zip up that folder and just send me the folder. So you got five problems you got to send me for the first one. So you're going to zip up five things and then attach the five things.
Heads up, if you're using Gmail or some other ones, they may have some security issues.
That's right.
Sending .exe files. So what you want to do is you have the folder and you have it .zip. You know, you've already compressed it all. Change the .zip to like JPEG or whatever, and they'll be sent to a picture. Just make sure in the email you say change .jpeg to .zip, and she can open it and go, okay.
In other words, we're talking how to beat the system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tricking into thinking it's a different file.
Exactly. Because Gmail will check zip file. I mean, Gmail will. Most don't.
It does it for virus. You can zip up a virus or a trojan.
That's right. Oh, it's got good reasons. Yeah. It's just like everything else.
Safety.
Security is a wonderful thing, but it's annoying at the same time.
Yeah, like at the airport, it sucks going through all that security.
That's right.
But at the same time, you
want
your plane.
So, you know, security is worth paying the price for, but that's why they don't do it. And so Gmail, but they haven't figured out yet that if we change the extension and send it, it might have an executable in there. You know, sooner or later, they're going to figure that out, and then we're going to be in real trouble.
They won't look at extension anymore. They'll look at the actual program.
Or something.
Like what it does.
But right now, you can get away with that, so I would recommend getting away with it. If you're using Gmail. Or if in any other browser it says it's not going to send it, change the extension. But as he said, if you do that, please tell me you did it so that I don't have to think and realize that you did and that I should change it back to zip. So let me know in the email that you should change this back to zip.
I'm just thinking like, they sent me a picture instead of like, homework.
Well, I did that the other day when I went to open one of yours. I said, why is he sending me a picture?
Really?
I thought it was the one where you said you were having a problem. Mm-hmm. So I thought you were sending me a picture.
Did you mean a toaster with a gun?
Sometimes they have me.
Did you mean a Domo toast?